the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Now, Deacon Michael Gawargi will give us a talk about our Lord Jesus Christ walking in the water, subject of this little, of this gospel of tonight.
Congratulations, tonight we all get one extra hour of sleep, or you could split the hour and come half an hour early to Mass and sleep an extra half an hour if you like. As you just heard, the Vespers Gospel is the famous miracle of the Lord walking on water and calling to St. Peter to walk on water. And we want to take five quick points from tonight's reading, and we're going to cheat and use the meditations of the early church fathers. Two specific fathers will use their meditations, St. John Chrysostom and St. Chromatius, and we'll hear what they have to say about the reading of tonight. But first of all, I'll just bring it back up on the screen. As you see, it says immediately from Matthew 14, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Does anyone know what happened just before this miracle? Before the Lord made his disciples get into the boat while he sent the multitudes away? There's a hint. He sent the multitudes away. So just before the passage that we heard read to us, just before this miracle, there was the miracle of feeding the multitudes. So the Lord had just finished feeding the 5,000 men plus the women and children from five loaves and two fish. And as you know, his disciples made the people sit down in groups of 50, and they distributed, and everyone had enough and to spare. And 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. So each of the disciples had a basket full of fragments that he could carry with him to the boat. And the Lord sent his disciples into the boat while he sent the multitudes away. So we're going to go through tonight's reading, but there's five portions that we want to just meditate quickly on each of the five. The first part is Jesus feeds. Jesus feeds, he gives. Jesus fed the multitude, and then he sent the disciples away by boat, sent the multitudes away, and then Jesus went on the mountain by himself to pray all night. So that's the first part. We could call it Jesus feeds. The second part, and we'll come back to this, is the disciples are now in the middle of the sea. And it's in the darkest hour of the night, in the fourth watch. And the night was split into four watches. So the first watch is, say, 3 hours between the evening hours of 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Second watch between, say, 9 p.m. till midnight. Third watch is until 3 in the morning. And the fourth watch is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So they were in that fourth watch, in deep water, probably about 5 or 6 kilometers away from the shore they left, and they were in a windstorm being tossed and turned. And Jesus goes to them in the fourth watch and gives them comfort. At first, they're afraid, and they cry out, saying, "It is a ghost." But Jesus immediately says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." So Jesus, we said, the first part, Jesus gives. Now, Jesus gives, or Jesus feeds. Now Jesus comforts and takes away the fear. Then, as you heard, Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." The Lord says, "Come." And Peter walks on the water while his eyes are focused on the Lord. And the moment he gets distracted and takes his focus away from the Lord, he begins to sink. So the third part, before Peter sinking, we could say Jesus commands. Jesus is in command, and he has authority over nature, and he commands Peter to come to him, and Peter comes. So Jesus feeds, Jesus comforts, Jesus commands. And then, as you know, Peter starts to sink and cries out, "Lord, save me." And immediately, the word immediately is repeated three times in this passage. Jesus immediately stretches out his hand and catches him and says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus enters the boat and the wind ceased. So here we could say Jesus saves. And finally, after this, they get to the other side, and the people of the region recognize him and bring to him all kinds of people who are sick, and they beg him that they can just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly well. So finally, the fifth part, we could say Jesus heals or has the healing touch. So throughout all this, we're going to come back to those five parts real quick and hear what the church forefathers had to say. But we hope that the Lord will increase our faith in him so that we could see that he alone is the one who can feed me, truly feed me, and truly feed me what's best for me at the right time. That's number one. Number two, he is the only source of true and everlasting comfort. He says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." He takes away the fear and fills me with comfort. Third, we will see how he is in command. He commands us to walk on the waters of this world, but to keep our eyes on him so that we do not sink. And fourth, we see that the Lord is, of course, the Savior. And when we cry out to him, as Peter did, immediately he stretched out his hand to save us. And last but not least, we'll see that we want to continue to have faith in the healing power of the Lord. If we only touch the hem of his garment, we shall be made perfectly well. And some of the forefathers described the hem of the garment of the Lord as Saint Paul and his teachings, because Saint Paul was, if you will, even though the strongest in his ministry, he was the last of the apostles to join. So he's like the hem or the border of the garment of our Lord Jesus Christ. Touching the hem of his garment means taking from the teachings of Saint Paul to all the nations. Let's go back to the beginning now, and Jesus feeding. Like we said in Matthew 14, before walking on the water, the Lord had spent the whole day with the multitude. He spent the whole day feeding them, first of all, spiritually. He fed them with his life-giving words. And then when the day began to wear away, the disciples would have sent the multitude away, but the Lord insists on satisfying their earthly needs as well and feeding the multitude with the five loaves and the two fish. Here we see the Lord, the true bread of life, feeds us with his life-giving words spiritually, also takes care of feeding us materialistically and taking care of our physical needs. And of course, God willing, tomorrow we will come and he will feed us mystically and give us his own body and blood. So Jesus feeds us the five loaves, gives us our daily physical bread, feeds us his spiritual words, feeds us of himself, his life-giving flesh. And then after the multitudes had eaten and the disciples he had sent in the boat and he had sent the multitudes away, what does the Lord do? It's been a very, very long day. Did he sit back on the couch and watch the football game or hockey game or soccer game? Or did he just take a nap? What did the Lord do? After the long day, he goes up on the mountain by himself alone to pray. He spent the whole night in prayer, because as we heard, he came to them on the fourth watch. So he's after sending the whole multitude away, he spent all that time in prayer. So Jesus also feeds us through his prayers and teaches us how to pray. He who has, you could say, as God has no need to pray, but he as a perfect human, just like all of us, does pray. And let's hear what St. John Chrysostom comments. This is what St. Chrysostom says. He asks, "For what purpose does he go up into the hills of the mountain? to teach us that solitude and seclusion are good when we are to pray to God. With this in mind, you see, we find him continually withdrawing into the wilderness. There he often spends the whole night in prayer, and this teaches us earnestly to seek quiet time, quietness in our prayers, as the time and place may afford. For the wilderness is the mother of silence. It is a calm and a harbor delivering us from all turmoils. Of course, it's fine if you don't have any other time to pray than perhaps to pray while taking the bus or driving to work. But it's also important to find 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour to dedicate in quiet time, reading the Lord's words and talking to him in seclusion. So this is the first part. We said Jesus feeds us physically, spiritually, mystically in communion, and feeding us and teaching us how to pray. The next part, we come to the fourth watch. And like we said here, we will see how Jesus comforts. Let's read also from St. John Chrysostom, his commentary. He says, "The disciples are tossed on the waves again." Why does St. John says they're tossed on the waves again? Because a number of chapters back, we heard that the Lord was with the disciples in the boat, but he was sleeping while the boat was being tossed. So this is not the first time that they're in peril in the waters. However, previously, the Lord was with them in the boat. St. John says, "They're tossed by the waves again. They're in a storm, fully as bad as the previous one." And he comments that gently and by degrees, the Lord excites and urges his disciples on toward greater responsiveness, even to the point of bearing all things nobly. Whereas in the previous storm, they had him with them in the ship. Now they were alone by themselves. Even when he was asleep in the boat in the previous situation, he was ready to give them relief from danger. But now he was not present to them. We'll continue reading because St. John gives us five reasons why the Lord is doing what he did. Now he is leading them into a greater degree of challenge. Now he is not even present to them. He has departed, and in the middle of the sea, he permits a storm to rise. This was for their training, that they might not look for some easy hope or preservation from any earthly source. So one reason is for our training. He allows them to be tossed by the storm all night. This had the purpose of awakening their stony hearts. Maybe if it was just a light storm and the Lord came and solved it right away, well, it's no big deal. Maybe the water was going to stop on its own. So he was, number two, awakening my stony heart in a most complete way. And this is how Jesus dealt with the nature of their fear, which the rough weather and the timing had produced. He cast them directly in a situation in which they would have a greater longing for him and a continual remembrance of him. So St. John Chrysostom is saying this was to train us, to break the stony heart, to take away the fear, to have a greater longing for the Lord, and to remember this experience with the Lord so they can share the experience for the benefit of themselves and others. Another church forefather from the early Christian century, St. Chromatius, also notes that the walking of the Lord on the water was foretold in Old Testament prophecies. We hear, for example, Job the righteous. In Job chapter 9, he writes, "Who alone stretched out the heavens and walked on the sea as well as on the earth?" We also hear in the book of Sirach, Solomon writes, "I dwelt in the highest places and my throne was in a pillar of cloud. I orbited the heavenly sphere alone and walked on the waves of the sea." David, the psalmist, writes, God, your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, in Psalm 77. And Habakkuk the prophet writes, the raging waters swept on, the deep gave forth its voice, in Habakkuk chapter 3. As we know, everything about the Lord is coming on earth, his incarnation up to his passion and his ascension has been foretold in prophecy. And it's amazing to see even his walking on water has been foretold in Old Testament prophecy. St. Cormatius also notes that when we talk about the fourth watch of the night, we can take a spiritual significance from the four different watches. He says that the first watch of the night for the human race can be thought of the period of time from Adam to Noah. The second watch from Noah to Moses and the law. The third watch from Moses up to the coming, first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ or his incarnation. And in those first three watches, even before the Lord comes, he sends us protection through his angels and saints. In the first watch, protection is given to Abel and Seth and Enoch and Methuselah and Noah. And in the second watch, to Abraham, Melchizedek, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. In the third watch, to Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and all the prophets and the righteous. Now the fourth watch marks when the Son of God himself was born in the flesh and suffered, the time that he had promised his disciples and his church, and then he promised his disciples and church, that he would always be with them after his resurrection. He comforted them. At the very end of the very last chapter of St. Matthew, you hear the Lord says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So this is very comforting. Jesus comforts us by saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Jesus comforts us by saying, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus comforts us by saying, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus feeds, Jesus comforts, and now we move on to Jesus is in command and Jesus commands. The Lord knows that in the world we will have tribulation, and he told us that honestly. And yet he commands us to walk on the water of the world and not to drown into the affairs of the world. In the world you will have tribulation, but do not focus on the tribulation of the world. But the Lord says, focus on me. If my eyes are directed to him who created my eyes and created the water, if my senses are tuned to him, my thoughts are aligned with him, if my desire is to be with him, then I could hear his voice and I could discern and distinguish his voice from any other noise of the world. I can direct my attention to him and I can follow his commandments. He says, walk on water, okay. He says, this is my body, eat it and you will live, okay. He says, if I forgive my brother, I must forgive my brother, even if he sins against me 77 times, seven times, okay. He says, it is more blessed to give than to receive, okay. He says, to pray without ceasing, okay. Because when Jesus commands, I only need to say, okay, and obey. When times are good, Jesus commands, I obey. And when times and the sea is rough, Jesus commands and I obey. When I'm in the middle of the boisterous storm and I'm far from land and in deep water and in the fourth watch, Jesus commands, I say okay. Easy to say okay if I keep my eye on him. Difficult to say okay if I'm distracted by everything that's going on around me and lose focus on what really matters. And there's a famous saying, you may know it, when you have a problem, don't tell God how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big God is. Don't tell God you have a big problem. Tell your problem you have a big God. God is here to feed, to comfort, and to command and take control and help us to live a peaceful life. Next, we move to Jesus saves. As you heard, St. Peter was doing well at first. He had faith in the Lord, and he kept his eyes on the Lord. But as soon as he moved his glance away, he began to have fear. And St. John Chrysostom has a very subtle observation about what happened. When St. Peter was walking on the water, what was more dangerous, the water or the wind? The water. The water could drown him. The sea was the greater threat. This is what St. John Chrysostom said. The sea was the greater threat. The wind was less. But as Peter was struggling with the sea, he was at the point suffering more anxiety from the violence of the wind than from the sea. And that's what caused him to have fear. St. John Chrysostom says, as humans, we're often that way. We feel exposed to the lesser danger, but don't even realize that we have a greater danger. And as an example, for example, many of us as parents, of course, we care for our children's physical well-being and education and health and all the stature, and are they going to get married or what have you. So that's great that we have care for that. But the more important is their spiritual well-being. In reality, there's greater threat to, God forbid, their spiritual well-being than there is often for their physical. Because if we neglect the spiritual well-being, they may be the most wealthy and healthy and prosperous here on earth, but then they could lose their eternity. So St. John Chrysostom is reminding us to have a balance. Of course, we need to care for our children's well-being here on earth, but the more important thing is to focus on their spiritual well-being as well. St. Peter at first was acting out his faith, but then, as many times, ends up acting out of fear. But even in the midst of fear, he still has enough faith to cry out, Lord, save me. And of course, the Lord immediately saves. Jesus saves, but I must cry out to him. Jesus saves, but I must trust that he is the Savior who is able to save me. And then finally, the last part of the reading from today, when the boat had made it to the other side, they recognized him and they brought to him all who were sick. So we saw how the Lord feeds with bread, feeds with his words, feeds us in communion and teaches us how to pray. The Lord comforts. He is the comfort of those in the storm. The Lord commands. He's in command of everything and he knows what's best for me. All I need to do is trust and obey. The Lord saves. Jesus saves, and he can save me as long as I cry out to him. Finally, here we see, of course, that Jesus heals. St. John Chrysostom also writes, for neither did they approach him as before, dragging him into their houses and seeking a touch from his hand and directions from him in words. But now, in a far higher pattern and with greater self-denial and with more abundant faith, they tried to win themselves a cure. By now, the woman who had the issue of blood, remember the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, she just touched the hem of his garment. And now they learned the same trick from her. By now, the woman who had the issue of blood had taught them all to be constrained in seeking wisdom. And as the evangelist also implying that at intervals, Jesus visited various neighborhoods, when he says, when the men of that place recognized him, they sent round all that region and brought to him all that were sick. Far from abolishing their faith, this interval of miracles had made it even greater and preserved it vigorously. So St. John Chrysostom is saying, we can get a glimpse that the Lord was visiting those regions from time to time. That's why they recognized him and brought to him all who were sick. May the Lord give us all faith in him who alone can truly feed us with our needs and give us what's best when it's best and give us comfort at all times eternally. As he says, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And as he commands us to walk on the water of the world, but keep our eyes on him so that we do not drown in the affairs of the world, as he will immediately reach out his hands to save me if I cry out to him. And if I just touch the hem of his garment, I would be made perfectly well. Glory be to God forever. Amen.